Good evening, Patriots. And tonight is October 23rd. It's a Saturday. And it's been actually kind of a quiet day, a good day on many levels, even though we have insanity going on, which that's kind of like goes without saying, right? When you have a hand puppet of a fake president sitting in a fake White House with a fake staff, run by the Chinese movie industry. What can you say? We live in bizarre times, right? And the best part is there's people that actually believe it. And that makes for a great movie to watch. Before we begin tonight, MyPillow.com. MyPillow, which is obviously Mike Lindell's great company. And it's just really amazing to me how much he's invested in this nation. And I think it's something that we must never forget. Mike is invested in liberty. He's invested in every aspect to try to keep the information flow going. Set up his own TV channel, Frank TV. Has set up his versions of social media, Frank Speech. He has kept his company going while he's been blasted and tried to be derailed by the deep state and every evil aspect of this society and the ridiculous left. And at the same time, he has built an amazing company that continues to grow and prosper, provides incredible value, and continues to support Patriot and Patriot events like nobody we've ever seen. So head on over to MyPillow.com/Bards. And that was kind of a big surprise I announced to you earlier this week when they let me know that we had our own subpage there on the MyPillow page, which is totally awesome. And it just speaks volumes to everyone that follows here that's been part of building that. So head on over to MyPillow.com/Bards and check out the great savings. Use your promo code Bards, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S. This is a great time to buy great savings to buy products for Christmas. They keep telling us Christmas is going to get canceled, and I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And so you can also, if you want, talk to a real live person. You can call 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939, and talk to a MyPillow Patriot Sleep Counselor. They'll be able to guide you right through what you need. We have just amazing savings over there. Great value, great products for Christmas. And the best part about it is you have a CEO that truly loves Christ and loves this country and gives that way. And so you know every part of every one of your dollars is going to liberty. Also, you have expeditioncoffee.com. Expedition, X-P-E-D, expeditioncoffee.com. This is a health and energy-based coffee to give you that caffeine boost in the morning, keep your head clear all day, and at the same time help heal your gut and improve your immune system. It's a pretty amazing product. So if you head on over to expeditioncoffee.com, X-P-E-D, you'll see the coffee, which is there. You'll also see other great products that we have on that page that are worth checking out. In this climate where we're all trying to keep ourselves healthy, the gut health triad is another part of the coffee collection, if you will. The coffee is your foundation. The gut health triad is another big part of that. And what that does is it provides you with the products to heal and seal your gut. These are products that were in part developed by Dr. Eric Napudi. And all of this is to try to keep your body healthy and strong during a very difficult time of a lot of stress and a lot of exposure to people that are carrying a mutated version of the COVID SARS nonsense because they got vaxxed. So they are now the new zombies, I guess. Also on that page, you'll find Immune XP, which is a fantastic immune-boosting product that contains pinecone extract and humic and fulvic acid. It's a one-of-a-kind product. It's super good for you, and it's all intended to boost that immune system, and as well Pure 47, which is one of the most pure spherical nanosilver supplements on the market right now, and it's truly effective in keeping yourself healthy with the onslaught of so many of these man-made viruses that are floating around here. So it is proving to be an unprecedented product. So I'd encourage you to check all that out. Good. Go on over to expeditioncoffee.com, X-P-E-D. You can also find it at going to bardsfm.com. And you can click on the Expedition Coffee logo, which is our cool logo right on the front there, and it'll take you right to that page. So to begin with tonight, I'm just going to share a little bit of news that came from, it was a really good report today from Michael Jaco. And I don't follow a lot of people, and I don't follow, and for that reason, I'm very selective in the sort of things that I pick up. One thing I can tell you about Michael Jaco, in his previous life, he was a Navy SEAL. That's confirmed. He did work with the CIA. That is confirmed. And so he gave a pretty solid report today that I have since been pinging around to get verification on, and I haven't been able to verify it at 100%, but I can tell you that there's a lot of this chatter coming on from the southern border down around Texas. There's a massive migrant caravan heading north, and today they broke through a National Guard line, a Mexico National Guard line, and they're in basically two segments, about 150,000 in each segment. The reports coming out of Texas, and these are not confirmed, and I'm going to, in fairness, Michael Jaco did not report them as confirmed. He's saying exactly what I'm going to tell you. This is just what's coming out. The source that he's hearing it from, I have verified to be a former Border Patrol agent. So there is a lot going on down there, and what that report is that there was a cartel action that has now taken over two small towns across on the American side, and there's a preparations to have a pretty much an onslaught of a migrant caravan invasion. Now, this should not surprise anybody, because this has been the plan that President Trump spoke of when he was in office, and part of the reason they were building the wall. It's also the reason that every one of the Democrats has been silent about the border, because they know this is going to happen. And this is coordinated. This is not some sort of aberration. Basically, the deep state elements within the southern countries are emptying their prisons and sending their criminals north into our country. Now, none of this is in a place to cause anybody fear or consternation. I want to be very clear about that. And what I want to read to you right now, which I think is a very important perspective that everybody needs to, and it motivates me to share these things, but always share them within context. Okay, so this is Ezekiel 33, 1 through 6. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from among them, and make him their watchman. And if he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and he did not take warning, his blood shall be upon himself. For if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will require at the watchman's hand. We are all watchmen in this fight, and it's important that we share information as much as we can, and also be careful how we share it. That's a responsibility of truth. So as I stated, Michael Jaco made a very well-framed report today. It was solid, and it was basically saying exactly as I'm telling you, this is what he was getting. And he told everybody, this is not verified, but this is what I'm getting. However, what I can verify for you is that I've had already reports from the border, from people in the veteran special operations people, that are saying that things are growing at an enormously tense rate, and that things are likely going to break at the border. That it should not surprise anybody, considering the criminals that we have running this nation. And with that, it's important to appreciate some of the challenges that lie ahead. We are a country now that has been sprinkled with people that have no good intention for this nation. While I've worked with many good Muslim families, what we have on this side of the border, this side of the world, there's an enormous number of single men Muslims that think women are whores, to be quite frank, and they see them as nothing more than trash, and will treat them appropriately. This is why you're seeing an increase and spike in the news of rapes. Their morals are lost, and they have a distorted view of their, even in their own religious practice. And unfortunately, in most of the Middle East, the value of women is completely, they don't see the value in women other than property. That's very common in the Middle East. So we have a conflict of culture, really, at core, and a conflict of our belief system. Obviously, many of these people hate Christians, and that's not by accident. And the other thing you have is you have criminal elements that are sprinkled across here that will, criminal elements will do criminal things, and criminals themselves there are no good. It isn't a point of being good. It's a point of them doing what they see as necessary to fill their survival, no matter what that cost is to somebody else. So within that perspective, it's important that we realize our role as watchmen is to keep ourselves alert, keep our friends and family alert, and to do the appropriate things to keep yourself prepared. I've been talking at length about food preparation, and that's important. Taking care of your home is essential. And this is one of the reasons that I've been very explicit about why I chose not to do any sort of rallies, which I think right now, very bluntly, are a waste of time. I think that they're a distortion and a distraction from where we need to be. People shouldn't be looking to seek motivation. They should be looking right now to take care of their homes, take care of their household and themselves. And as we push out messages, there's all sorts of digital mechanisms to do that. But unfortunately, these rallies, and I'm pretty critical of them anyway, because most of the rallies that we're seeing right now are just a money machine. They're just intended to generate revenue, and that should not be the motive when we're dealing with national security and we're dealing with this preservation of humanity. So again, it's important that we take care of our homes on many levels and build out our community. And as we do that, we need to do the appropriate things. Make sure you're stocked up on food. Hoarding purchases have already begun, as we knew that would happen. As people are now suddenly awakening that haven't been paying attention for the last numbers of years, and they're starting to see that, oh my goodness, there's these ships sitting offshore. Well, those ships are sitting offshore because this is an intentional act to try to sever the normal supply chains that people become dependent upon. Now, one thing that, and I can't tell you this is true in everybody's stores, but I can tell you that it's very consistent here, which I find interesting, and I think it's at the core of what is going to be the problem. People have forgotten about the basics of what it takes to survive in food and what it takes to just what our basics are that we need. And by that, I will add that they've even forgotten how to cook. And so a lot of what you're seeing at the stores is the shortages of canned goods, and then obviously some convenience items. But a lot of the canned and processed foods are not there. And much of that is because so much is processed in China. We need to be looking at raw materials for your food. And when I say that, rice and beans, I keep telling you that is a really good, affordable foundation that you can build stockpiles up very quickly. And this is where I was leading, is that in the stores here locally where I'm at, the bulk items like that, like the 25-pound, 50-pound bags, are very available, while the small canned items are starting to deplete. And especially, you're seeing a lot of the fresh produce and a lot of the things like that. Just we'll say produce in general. It's not replenishing quickly. So supply lines are definitely disrupted, and we're heading into winter, and this is going to get worse. Gas prices are starting to rise pretty radically, and we've already been warned of a fuel shortage. You can expect in the coming weeks some pretty radical actions, and I'm not giving you dates. I'm just telling you that we're dealing with a organized system of control that is losing control faster than they can reclaim it. And in spite of their push for the injection and a mandate injection, people are not responding. And in spite of their fear porn, which nobody's listening because not as many people are watching their garbage anymore. And in spite of their attempts at false flags, no one's paying much attention because no one really cares anymore. They know the game is up. With that means that there's going to be an escalation of action. and there's going to be a lot of saber rattling and likely some violent actions. And there would be no better place to do that, quite frankly, than at the border, which is a contentious issue anyway, because our idiot left believes that everybody in the world needs to come here as long as they don't come to their house or their town. And that's the same group of people that have all taken at least two, if not three, of the injections. So you can kind of see how that maps out. So we have a solemn and very focused responsibility to keep a level head, to keep ourselves in prayer and relationship with God, and no fear. I can't stress that enough as we move into this. Now, I mentioned this last night, and I'm going to re-mention it in a different way tonight, and that is that our fear when we get into these moments, and when you consider a migrant group of 300,000 coming to the border, that's not unsubstantial, and the spillage that that can create and the challenges that will create. What I would say is, from our role, depending on where you are, but from our role in particular as we're getting more north, it's essential that we create a prayer wall in a virtual sense, metaphysical sense perhaps, where we have to really pray for that line at the border to hold and to pray for those that are down there because they are in harm's way. As no matter how this has playing out, no matter how accurate that intel is, that's an enormous amount of people going to be surging the border. So we should be praying for those families and men and women that are there. We should also be praying for the healing of the world. We have a greater ability within ourselves than we really know. And the problem is that we keep getting stoked with fear. And we're so conditioned for fear and anxiety. Anxiety is maybe a better term because I don't think as many, fear is one component, but I think a lot of more people are consumed with anxiety than with fear. But anxiety is just as dangerous of an issue. Because it gets you worked up into that brain chemistry that ultimately keeps you away from the bigger focus and the calming focus, and it reduces your internal vibration and energies. We are ascending into this greater understanding of the world, which is through our love of God and through our relationship in the body of Christ. And if you think back to the stories of Christ, I mean, where did Christ ever have fear? And I would say really nowhere. There was a moment in the garden when he was walking and he kind of has this moment of hesitation, if you will, but is quickly reclaimed in that place that human part of him at that moment kind of comes through where he begins to question a little bit, but that passes very quickly. And so as we are in this walk, I think it's very critical to put ourselves in that place in that true sense of the body of Christ and be that, walk that, and hold that in such a beautiful way that we become that guiding light, that very guiding power within our communities, within our presence, that as this thing happens, and there's going to be a lot of shaking and trembling in the days and weeks and months ahead, we can be that calming force in our communities. Why? Because God's in us. And as God is in us and he's moving through us, we are truly there to be the elements that can calm and can be part of a bigger process that God's working, which is trying again to wake up so many and bring his children home. I don't know, as any of us know, what that way ahead is. I am definitely not one that's painting an image of gloom. I think that I think we're in a glorious age ahead of us, and I think that we're in a glorious time. But I'm also very realist in this sense, is to look at what is going on here. I think it's reasonable to assume that from now to 2024, I would not put any wager on Biden leaving office other than perhaps replaced by some sort of a provisional government because everything so effectively collapses. But I would count on the next 3 years of seeing a constant degradation and collapse of all the systems that you've become to know. And I think that that's an amazing moment, an amazing thing to see. It's chaotic. It's going to put a lot of stress on all of us. And where the difference is going to be is those that endure the stress are going to be the best, are going to be those that are most deeply anchored in our relationship of Christ and through Christ to the Father. That is where we're going to have our greatest impact. And if you really look at it like a beginning of a journey, which is how I choose to see it, we're entering, we've been struck like world, like Pearl Harbor, and that was the first, this first 18 months was like a long endured Pearl Harbor attack. And we're now kind of looking forward at this fight. But the beautiful part of this fight that we're in is it's predominantly faith and our worship in God. And what we're about ready to enter into is the most critical part, where our part of this fight becomes an active role of discipleship within our communities. And it's a place where we can quite literally look forward to the opportunity and challenge, because I'm not in any way going to paint a picture like this is going to be easy. It's not. Let's be clear. The narrow path, the path of the watchman, the path of this discipleship, all of these things together are very demanding, and they take us to a higher level of responsibility and accountability with God. Our role, though, has been well prepared over the last few years. Now, if there's new people to this channel, and we hope that there are, and we welcome you, understand that a lot of the basis of this, that we're having these conversations, is a growing audience that's been here for over 2 years. And it's a point now that we've come to where it's a very deep understanding that in the victory of this fight is not going to come through the sword. The victory of the fight is not going to come through violence, but the victory of the fight is going to come through the emissaries of, and as we roll with, as emissaries of love and healing in this world. And that's not esoteric and it's not New Age. It's principally biblical, because it is where we are walking in God's light. We're walking within the body of Christ, and our role is to challenge people to seek and find that love within themselves. That's the big difference. I'm not in all other places, is we're not trying to come out here as the healers and come out here and say, oh, we're going to make it all better. I saw this. Sorry. I just started laughing when I was about ready to say this. I saw this thing earlier. I do this once in a while. I have to go over and listen to some of this esoteric nonsense, and it's all over the YouTube right now. It's like permeating, which tells you if YouTube's promoting, it's probably garbage. So, and it's all in the feeds. And so this chick starts out tonight, and she's like, oh, you star seeds, I have news for you. And I'm like, oh gosh, this is going to be painful. And I literally listened to this garbage for about 10 minutes until I just could not literally endure it anymore. I literally felt like hitting myself over the head with a cast iron pan. And it was, you know, this whole nonsense was like, we're here to challenge the world, and the rest of those people that aren't us, that are aren't star seeds, aren't at the same level we are. And I'm like, oh my goodness gracious, this is really real. I mean, people really believe this crap. So, let me just be clear: we're not star seeds, and I'm not a star seed. Oh my goodness! But what we are is we are God's children, and we are truly in this place of having an amazing role as we have embraced that role of Christ, that walk with Christ as is within the body of Christ, and have this amazing opportunity. As we walk into this place. Now, with that, that gives us this very beautiful role of being in discipleship and as mentors and guides. And we can and we should work that way with others. In the sense of prayer, I don't think there's anything more powerful in these times than to pray for people, pray with people, and to really give a lot of healing and unity to this time. The most divisive thing we've probably ever faced as a culture is this injection. And it is truly a sad moment, because it isn't just the injection. We've talked in length of this. It's not just the fact that it's the injection that you took. It's the fact that it is quite literally changing you, and still is changing you, because what's in that injection is an active agent that is moving through every cell. It's moving in, growing this hydrogel. It's literally transforming people to be something other. That's going to demand of us to be able to have an appreciation at a certain point of our role to help guide them to a deeper healing. And that's going to mean that there, as always, to get to that place, there has to be individual accountability. Those that have taken the shot are still, not all, but I'm going to say that many of those that have taken the shot have still either not accepted or are, it's just a very difficult thing for some to embrace the fact that you've literally destroyed your body. And you did so out of motivation of fear or just weakness to, and inability to stand a line, to believe and trust in the institutions of man rather than the greatness and omnipotence of God himself. And so on one hand, we have to, there has to be accountability, and I've said this so many times, with those that have taken this shot. And on the other hand, our prayers and our knowledge, ability, I should say, to reach to other people, to guide them and give them that direction back to Christ, I think is going to be critical. Now, a word that I'm not wanting to say tonight, so I guess I better say it because that's probably God knocking on my shoulder, is empathy. Oh, my goodness. And it's I sigh because I know that I'm going to be, this is my candid moment. I know that empathy is the right thing in the end to do, but I think we are all still wanting to see accountability as we try to, before we extend a full hand of empathy. I'm not saying that that's right. I'm going to be clear about that. I think that if I was truly to be honest in my heart, what Christ would be doing would be providing empathy and accountability in a single step. I'm sure that we will, some of you may be much better at that, and that's good. I'm complimented if you are. I think that we'll eventually all arrive there to where it's an empathetic and a consequential accountability at the same time. And I say that because it's an easier thing when we sit apart from the problem to separate those two concepts of accountability and empathy. It changes radically when you're faced with direct consequences of the horrors of decisions, people dying, people being maimed. That those are two, when those two come together with your moment, it empathy and accountability tend to unite in a good way. And it's not even has to be forced. Sadly, I think it's going to take a lot of that for a lot of people to be shaken from their slumber and to face where we are. But nonetheless, let us not forget our roles and the importance of our roles and the power which God has given us to quite literally heal this world through our prayer and our extension of love through him. This weapon that they use, the greatest weapon that they use, is the influence over our minds. So when we go back to the story, for example, of the caravan, and of this human caravan heading north, caravan. And by the way, there's a really intentional use of that word, because if I say caravan, I would assume that most people would come to something, a very normal visual thought, which is gypsies. Gypsies, by the way, drive around in caravans. And they have obviously they're very poorly regarded in Europe, and they're a migratory culture still to a large degree. We're not dealing with a caravan. We're dealing with a human assault. And even though they're unarmed, that's exactly the game, is they're trying to come across the border unarmed so that weapons can't be used against them. But it's nonetheless, it's an assault on our nation, and it's assault on this land. And so we're going to be challenged on a lot of levels. You're going to find a lot of pushback from this liberal class. They've been deeply brainwashed into believing that the United States should be open to everybody. Everybody should have this land of opportunity. They've been deeply brainwashed into believing that all of these people are in need or poor or are escaping from some sort of horror, which is all nonsense. So this is going to be, again, one of these big barriers. And we're not going to be able to get through any of this ourselves without the assistance of God. So keep our prayers up, and let's keep our focus up. And I think perhaps keeping this in mind, which is Zechariah 8:16-17. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. And love no false oath, for all these things I hate, declares the Lord. that to me is a real solid framing of where we each are going. And especially those, this last part, love no false oath, not false idol, but false oath. Really important. Our primary mission is to always stay aligned with God and all that he brings. And as we walk that path, we walk a very distinct and separate path from those that are not saved. We are into a divisive world where, again, we are dealing with the non-believer, the unbeliever, the non-saved. Forget all the vax stuff, because it really, in that point, it's not a divide, it's a man-made division. The real deeper division is spiritual. We should be trying to bring as many people across as possible, that is our mission, is discipleship. The problem that we have, and we will continue to have always, is there are many that just don't want to hear about Christ. They don't want to believe in God, and they only want to concern themselves with themselves, which sets them up to be utilized as agents of the deep state or this evil through the manipulations of fear, hatred, contempt, division, all these things. Again, our greatest strength, if we truly embrace it, is prayer. And that comes from that simple thing that is said here. We need to do not devise evil in our hearts against one another. So as frustrated as we can be with the perceptions of political beliefs or political misguidances or propaganda-controlled minds, as difficult as it can be for us to be frustrated with those that are choosing to ignore truth and instead follow the false god of this Fauci science and take the injection, it is in that place that we should not be devising evil in our hearts against them, but instead we should be trying to build bridges through our prayers and through the prayers extending God's love. And I think that's the most powerful piece right there. So someone just wrote, so I'm saying no throat punching. If it's the devil, I'm throat punching him so doggone hard, it's going to make your head spin. And I'm going to do it about 20 times too. I'm not kidding. But that's from one another. We have to find the bridge. And I think that's going to be, and I say all this in a very kind of somber way tonight, because none of this is easy. I want to be clear about this. I'm not talking here from a pedestal. And it's not as if everything's going to be all easy. This side that's taken the vax has done so boldly. They've embraced a very divisive approach to their fellow man. They have embraced secular separation within culture. They've even believed and supported in this idea of internments or even destruction of whole segments of the population that have, or even forced injection. I mean, this is a very horrific mindset that's existing. And this is where I always pivot back to, we can pray, which is essential. And we can ask guidance from the Lord. There is a side of this that if we are not yet there, and I hope we don't get there. But as I've often said, I mean, we've seen from lessons in the past that there are certain evils that the Lord does not tolerate whatsoever. Jericho is a great example. But we're trying right now to build the bridges to heal and to show the way more than anything, to create the bridge by showing the way. But the critical piece on all of this, and I keep pivoting back to this, is accountability. We know that through salvation and through repentance and through the acceptance of Christ, we have to confront accountability in our own lives. And that has to happen in order for this healing to occur. And so in all of this talk I've had tonight, while we're trying to get to a place of preparation, because there's a lot of things going to unravel, in my opinion, very quickly. Quickly being not necessarily hours or days, but weeks, but that's relatively speaking, that's quite quick. And we're going to be seeing a lot of different realities of who people truly are in the coming weeks. We're going to see people that we may have highly respected and realize that they're a little more than charlatans for money. We may see people that we've judged heavily rise up to be great in moments that we never expected. So there's going to be a lot of upheaval. And I think this is, quite frankly, this is how, in my opinion, this is how God works, because it's the revealing of all things to us and truly forcing us each to reflect very deeply within ourselves. And that in itself is one of the greatest parts of this whole walk we're in right now, is that as we move forward, we're beginning to find the true nature of who we are and discover the true beauty of who we are, and to continue to move in that place with God to get deeper and in a deeper relationship with Christ, and through Christ, a deeper relationship to Father. Those are beautiful things. Again, it's essential, though, that we listen to the words of guidance. And I'm going to reread Zechariah 8, 16 to 17. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgment that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. And love no false oath, for these things I hate, declares the Lord. The critical part there, I think, is to realize that everything that the deep state is doing is to devise evil in our hearts against one another. And so as we pull back from that and to really realize where we're sitting, we have a much greater role to play as we walk in that path as God is asking us to love each other, to extend love to one another, and to build that around there, and to have trust in Him that vengeance is His and that justice will be brought by His hand. And so as I read almost every night now is Jeremiah 6:16. It's a reminder of what lies ahead of us each day. And really, for that matter, each moment. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I think the ultimate lesson in all of this is there is a point coming where the true separation will be very clear to everybody. Those that walk with God and in that sense a true remnant, and those that have chosen to walk a separate path. How much of that bridge we can bring together is not known, and we have no idea what that is. Our role again in discipleship is to continue to reach out. But in the end, and when I say end, at a certain point, when you're taking this path, people either come along on that ancient path that we're seeking with God and to walk that, or they don't. And in this, that's as we're moving along. What we're facing right now in the coming weeks is going to put all of that in, it's going to feel like all of that's put in challenge, but don't ever lose sight, no matter how crazy things get, of the ancient paths and seeking that wisdom from God to walk there, even in the worst of moments. It's important, because if we lose in the midst of war, what I will tell you is it's very easy to lose your humanity. As crazy as what I'm going to say is, there is a certain, in the worst of moments in war, there is still a certain part of humanity that prevents you from going too far over the edge. So keep faith before you, keep your prayers before you, keep your Bible near, and more than ever right now. As this whole mechanisms that we've been living under start to unravel more than they are right now, it's going to seem at times like everything's upside down. Our center point is always through Christ to the Father. Our center point is always that rock of faith. And as we hold that line truly, and we walk and seek the ancient paths, we will be able to lead many away from that craziness, because we will be the examples that they will witness. But we can't save everyone. And at a certain point in that walk, it's not possible for us to continue to drag them forward. In fact, it's never possible for us to drag them. They have to make the choice. So ultimately, let us walk with God and Christ in such a way that people see it and don't have to hear it, but they can recognize something is within us is different, different in a beautiful way, different in a respectful way, different in a loving way. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you each day, each evening, to this ability to come together in fellowship in your name and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in these times when we are truly looking to you and seeking those roads of the ancient paths, we ask more than ever that you can continue to open our eyes and guide us in those ways, that we may walk in the ancient paths to awaken something deeper within us, a greater knowledge that you've placed there with us that we're still discovering and will continue to discover, but has been buried so deeply for so long. Lord, let us truly awaken to the greatness of who we are in these coming days and weeks, and to be able to appreciate the power that you've given us to heal and to unite through prayer and through the love of our Lord Christ Jesus. And let us, Lord, walk boldly within that example of the body of Christ to remember what truly was accomplished far beyond the stories, but the impact on the world of your Son walking here unafraid, your Son walking here in the perfect stride of completing your mission, of spreading your word, expanding the kingdom. Let us each walk in such a way that Christ flows through us. And in flowing through us, Lord, the people don't have to hear it, but they can see it and witness it in such a glorious moment that they will, in the end, seek you. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. In the worst of times, it is the best of times. And I think that's something to really keep in mind, that in never again in our lifetimes will we live through a moment such as this. I have, in all the craziness that goes on, and I pray on this a lot. I don't know where we end up, and I don't pray on this for answers, because I don't think God would give them anyway. I just pray for clarity. And the one thing that keeps settling into my heart is not darkness, but light. It's opportunity, it's excitement for what's coming. Knowing, though, that in order to get there, we have a pretty rough road to run. What I know is from here to there, however rocky that is, we don't have to understand the why of it, but we do can appreciate the experience of it. And embracing that experience day by day, I think, is very critical, of acknowledging that there's actually more greatness around us if we open our eyes and look up. We tend to wallow too much in the negative. And even though there are dramatic moments moving along here, as we hear of dramatic moments in one place, like say the border story, if this is actually manifesting the way we anticipate, let's look for those things local to us that we can elevate up, to raise each other up, to raise our neighbors up, and to build, use this time to build bridges, to build trust, and ultimately to expand the kingdom of God. That's one of the great gifts, because as things get torn down and people lose their idols and lose their false oaths, they're going to seek, and that's human nature. And if we're there to guide and point, they may, hopefully, they will choose that path back to God. And I can't think of a greater mission than that right there. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. We're truly at an epic moment, patriots, in our prayers and our faith. And I have no doubt that God is with all of us. We need to listen closely. We need to move as he's directing us to move. And I feel now that we're all at a point when wasting time is not an option. So let us work with haste and focus, but calm. That's the key word. Steady pace, focused pace, and responding and listening closely to what God's asking each of us. Because God is with us. He's not going to forsake us. He's there. And really, the deeper we go into this, the more we realize just how much he's trusting in us. He's got this one, no problem. But I think more to the point is that he's working through us. And in the process, God's raising us and opening our hearts and our minds to become greater. but not just for ourselves, but for the many that are still seeking. And that's what I think ultimately is going to be one of the greatest missions we can ever imagine. And there'll be plenty of time. There'll be plenty of people seeking. There already are. There'll just be a lot more as we go. So have a blessed night. I'll see you tomorrow night for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose, reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. We're on the edge of a moment, been out of our depth, now we're diving in. The light up ahead, we're running to it. We're on the edge, now we're diving in. Stay a while and you'll see that every broken dream fit together flawlessly. Sometimes when belonging becomes something to find.